Prologue from the Mark. We can all keep our fingers crossed, Max said. I've seen those quasis do amazing things based solely on what the flight management system onboard computer tells it to do. But this is a long flight on its own, and I've asked it to do some interesting stuff, barring turbulence. Cross our fingers, Hannah said. Only God can make this work. You're the expert, Captain McCullum, but if this thing goes down anywhere but deep in the Mediterranean, it won't take long for someone to discover no one was aboard. This plane was not free-falling toward the Mediterranean. No, this multi-million Nick marvel of modern technology was accelerating, her burner cans hot, the vapors shimmering in a long trail. The strange attitude and angle sent the craft careening toward the shore, approximately 3/4 of a mile south of the crowd. The quasi and ostensibly her two-man crew and two passengers slammed the beach perfectly perpendicular at near the speed of sound. The first impression of the shocked-to-silence crowd had to be the same as Buck's. The screaming jet engine still resonated even after the plane disintegrated, hidden in a billowing globe of angry black and orange flames. An eerie silence swept in, followed less than half a second later by the nauseating sound of the impact, a thundering explosion accompanied by the roar and hiss of the raging fire. Buck hurried to his car and phoned Rayford. The ship is down on the shore. No one could have survived it. On my way back to the voice that will cry in the wilderness. Buck was struck by an unusual emotion as he merged into traffic that crawled toward the ancient city. It was as if he had seen his comrades go down in that plane. He knew it was empty, yet there had been such a dramatic finality to the ruse. He wished he knew whether it was the end of something or the beginning of something. Could he hope the GC was too busy to thoroughly investigate the site? Fat chance. All Buck knew was that what he had endured in 3.5 years was a walk in the park compared to what was coming. The entire drive back he spent in silent prayer for every loved one and Trib Force member. Buck had little doubt that the indwelt Antichrist would not hesitate to use his every resource to quash the rebellion scheduled to rise against him the next day. Buck had never been fearful, never one to back down in the face of mortal danger. But Nikolai Carpathia was evil personified, and the next day Buck would be in the line of fire when the battle of the ages between good and evil for the very souls of men and women would burst from the heavens, and all hell would break loose on earth. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the 7 angels, "Go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth." So the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth. And a foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. Revelation 16, verses 1 and 2.